What will you be thinking about this morning? What did you think about when you got up? What will you be thinking of when you go to bed this evening? And what about in the sleepless nights? What then? What do you think about? And what about through the day? What occupies your thoughts? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to hold up your answers. But please consider what inhabits your mind. I want to suggest as we go through this series, Growing Your Relationship with God, that just as we have seen, we need set times with God each day, so we also need to develop setting our minds on God through the day. We are to grow our relationship with God all through the day, through the moments of the day, by focusing how we think, what we think about. We are to pray continually, as Paul tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Or pray without ceasing, as the King James Bible translates. Another term for this focusing of the mind on praying through the day could be that given famously by Brother Lawrence, the 17th century monk, the practice of the presence of God. We're going to explore today why our mind, what we think, what preoccupies our thoughts is so vital for growing our relationship with God to experience his presence. How we need to train our minds, and what it means to consciously live in the presence of God. But first, a reminder of where we've got to in growing your relationship with God. And now we do need the next slide. A reminder of what we said over these last sermons about how to grow your relationship with God. You need to have a set time each day to settle yourself, to pray through the Lord's Prayer and maybe a prayer book, to read the Bible, to be still, self-emptying, be silent, pray in the Spirit, maybe in tongues. As I said in the last sermon in this series a couple of weeks ago, if you have or are developing this daily habit, great, terrific. You are forming a lifetime of knowing God deep within yourself. And if not, I gently asked you then, and I gently asked you why, I gently ask again, why not? I suggest it's not about time. Everyone has the 10 minutes each day that is the minimum that you need. And you don't need to fear. You're meeting the God who loves you through and through. There are several possibilities why we don't make this set time with God each day. But as I said a couple of weeks ago, I wonder if the real root of our not giving focused time in God is that we just haven't yet got it. We haven't truly appreciated the majestic love of God and our deep need of him. We don't appreciate our profound need to be mended. We settle for a half life or less when our God-given aim is to be perfect, truly, fully alive in God, released from the chains of Mammon. My guess is our reluctance to give ourselves over to God is because our God is too small. We haven't grasped the God, the mighty God of the Trinity. Or God is a theory, words, when our soul cries out for experience of him. So we have to give set time each day for him to penetrate deep within our souls, to receive his majesty, his love and grace, his joy and wisdom, his peace and purpose, his hope and confidence. And then, going on further into this series, our theme to today, we have to go on growing our relationship with him through the day and the night. A 24/7 life in God. Let's see what the Bible passages today tell us about this need for a committed life in God. I'm going to ask for the next slide, please. The Gospel reading, Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Jesus tells us, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. To know the grace and love of God in your life, you've got to let go. Denying yourself means letting go of your self-preoccupation. There has to be an emptying of yourself before God can fill you. Jesus goes on to say, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. If you try to hold on first to your desires and ambitions, your preoccupations and your cares, you will lose your life. Your life will be one of anxieties and concerns, niggles and obsessions. At best, you will have settled for a half-life chained to Mammon. Jesus asks, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul. You could have everything this world can offer and missed what this life is all about. But Jesus tells us, whoever loses their life for me will find it. If you hand over yourself to God, to Christ, you'll find him, life, subsuming and guiding all your desires and ambitions. And the next slide, the epistle reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Because St. Paul helps us to know what this handing over to God, to Christ, means in practice. He urges us to knowing God's mercy, if we truly grasp who God is, to offer yourself, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Worship is not just for Sundays. It is whole life, giving ourselves over to living in the reality of God. Losing your life that you may find it. Sacrifice, emptying of yourself to be filled with God. This is your true and proper worship, Paul says. And he goes on to say, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. St. Paul clearly spells out that the locus of giving ourselves over to God is our mind. The locus of giving ourselves over to God is our mind. What we think about, what our thoughts are set on, what we think about when we awake and when we go to bed and throughout the day and any sleeplessness. Your mind is your key to experiencing the presence of God or not. We may slavishly follow the patterns and desires of the world without even realizing that this is what we are doing. We may think life is about the things of materialism, or more likely, we don't even think. Our mind has just accepted the norms around us, so this is what we do and who we are. And so, to truly not forfeit our souls, we have to think. We have to set our minds on the things of God and his kingdom. To be conformed to the pattern of this world is a waste of a life. We are to be transformed, and that occurs by consciously taking hold of who we are, renewing our minds out with the norms of the world and in with God and his kingdom. So what does go on in your mind? Would you all like to? No, I'm not going to do that. We're going not to go to ask you to say publicly what goes on in your mind, but just reflect, what does go on in your mind? What do you think about? I know if left to itself, my mind can be loaded with rubbish, negativity, anxiety, obsessive thought, bothering about things that are fruitless and pointless. And this can include repetitive negative loops. If you don't have such tapes that can get stuck in your head, you are very blessed. The columnist Amelia Tate, talking about struggling with the greater free time that lockdown has given her, writes this: my brain spends every wasted moment reciting mean mantras. You are a worthless idiot. You are a stupid expletive. And as I say, you're very blessed if you don't identify with this type of negativism. I suggest that we can all have obsessive thought, addictive type thought. We can all be prone to negativism. And what else? What else are the things that fill our minds? It may be that much of the time, our mind is full of inconsequential trivia. In one of those glorious moments in The Simpsons, Homer shouts at his children to be quiet because he can't hear himself think. Bart, Lisa, and Maggie are quiet. Homer says, "Now what was I thinking about?" The next slide, please. Peanuts. So nothing wrong, of course, with thinking about trivial things. The danger is that we never think about more than the trivial. So obsessive thought, addictive thought, negativism, trivia can easily dominate our minds. And if this is the case, it is of course impossible to experience the glory and majesty of God. It is well known that St. Paul in his writings celebrates the work of the Holy Spirit. It may sometimes be overlooked that he emphasizes again and again that the focus of the mind is crucial in experiencing the Holy Spirit. As we have seen, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in 2 Corinthians, he writes this, take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. So be aware of what you're thinking and let your thoughts be refined and consecrated, holy and worthy of God. Do not accept obsessive, addictive thought, negativity, or settling for just trivia. Take every thought captive, be transformed. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about our sinful nature, where we have our minds set on what that nature desires, versus having our minds set on what the Spirit desires. Again, the link of the Holy Spirit and being filled with where our mind is set. Romans 8, verse 5. Paul spells out that the mind of the sinful person is death, but the mind controlled by, focused on the Spirit is life and peace. In growing our relationship with God, then, our mind, what we think, what preoccupies our thoughts is vital. And the last slide as we conclude for today. We are to give up ourselves, to let go of ourselves to God, that we may save ourselves, to be living sacrifices, offering ourselves, our thoughts, our mind to God, praying through the day that we may be transformed, to train our minds and grow in experience of what it means to continuously live in the presence of God. We'll continue next week. For this week, I encourage you to become aware of your thinking. What you think about when you got up in the morning, what you think about when you go to bed, and what you think about in the sleepless nights and through the day, what occupies your thoughts. And be aware of obsession, addictive thought, negativity, if your head is full of trivia, the mind set on the sinful nature. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen.